What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another installment of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Saturday edition of the show. We are wrapping up our off-season options series right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, where me and Gino each day would go into a different position and see how the Eagles can upgrade that spot in the offseason, whether it is through free agency, which is in just a couple of weeks here. March 18th is the opening day of unrestricted free agency when the Eagles and the other 31 NFL teams can start to pay free agents in the open market. Also, though, the Eagles are going to have probably, I would say, 7 draft picks in the first 4 rounds this year, and Howie Roseman and, you know, coaches, the media, fans have all talked about an infusion of youth on this roster in 2020, so they're going to have a lot of draft picks to do some things that route as well. There's options the Eagles can take in the draft. Honestly, I think it's going to be more of a priority this year across the board on offense and defense than free agency will be, although Howie Roseman has talked about being big spenders this year. The Eagles have a little over $40 million in salary cap space. So we went through backup quarterback, running back. Of course, a big one is wide receiver, offensive line. Then on defense, I mean, defense is honestly the unit that has, I think, way more needs. When you talk about the entire secondary, it might have to be rebuilt at corner, at safety, and linebacker too, really. And of course, you can always make upgrades on the defensive line, and that's what we're going to get into today. Yesterday, Gino got into defensive tackle and how they can finally find some stability at that position next to Fletcher Cox through, yes, the return of Malik Jackson is obviously going to be huge, but, you know, Malik Jackson got hurt last year. Timmy Jernigan might not be back in Philadelphia this year since he's set to be a free agent as well. So how can they make sure that this year they don't have to rely on the likes of, although I thought he was pretty good for what he was, Anthony Rush, you know, Higgins, Hassan Ridgeway gets injured, but even Ridgeway is not somebody you want to be taking significant snaps on your defense for a majority of the time. So how can they upgrade the interior of the defensive line? Gino got into that yesterday. Today, I'm going to wrap up offseason options with edge rushers, a position that, while is still one of the strong suits of this Eagles unit, this roster across the board, I think it is a position that could be upgraded. So we'll get into how they can do that through free agency and through the draft coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. But before we get into that, I know we did already talk about the offensive line last week on offseason options, but there was some big news at the end of this week that has to do with the Eagles' left tackle spot, and the Eagles actually posted an official statement saying that it's a mutual understanding, a mutual agreement that the Eagles and Jason Peters right now are going to part ways. The door hasn't been officially closed. They did not say they're going to part ways or that it's over between the two after 11 years from 2009 to 2020, but they did say in the statement that Jason Peters will be allowed to test the open market. He will go talk to other teams. And to me, that, I don't know, I feel like that's the end, because why, first off, you traded up for Andre Dillard in the first round of the 2019 NFL draft, so the writing was on the wall, especially when you signed Jason Peters to a one-year deal. It just, the clue was, okay, in 2019, Peters is going to be, you know, that mentor for Andre Dillard. He's gonna get you through his rookie season, and then in year two, Dillard does take over. And I feel like, again, you letting Jason Peters talk to other teams also reiterates that sentiment. Because some people are saying, well, maybe Jason Peters, the door's not officially closed, they could just be trying to get him back at a better deal, let him go see what's out there money wise and then make a decision. But if you really wanted to prioritize keeping Jason Peters at left tackle, if you really did not believe Andre Dillard was ready in year two, you would not go out of your way to make a statement saying that you're going to let him talk to other teams. Maybe it's, you know, because look at Rodney McLeod. The Eagles are going to let Rodney McLeod enter free agency, but there was no official statement as if to say, like, hey, this might be it. We want to thank Rodney McLeod for everything he did, right? There was no, like, you know, kind of, it wasn't official goodbye, but it was kind of a goodbye, right? The Eagles still want to bring back Rodney McLeod. If they really wanted Jason Peters back and they didn't believe in Andre Dillard, not sure why they would have posted this, you know, that statement on Twitter. And to me, this ends all of the Andre Dillard hysteria, which was getting really frustrating. I was trying to tune it out on Twitter, but, you know, it's just, to me, somebody said, by the way, that the Eagles are the ones that started that hysteria. By the way, they were answering questions pertaining to Dillard, pertaining to Jason Peters. To me, if you're going to go based off of what an organization says, you're going to be wrong and you're going to be misinformed a lot of the time. I mean, just go back a month ago when Doug Peterson said he wanted, or not that he wanted, he said Mike Rowe and Carson Walsh, the former offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach, those two would be back in 2020 on Doug's coaching staff. What was it, a day or two later, the Eagles announced that both of those guys were relieved of their duties. So to me, go off of what the organizations do, not what they say, and them letting Jason Peters walk into free agency and talk to other teams when other teams across the board need offensive line help, and you have a Hall of Famer like Jason Peters who can still play, by the way. I know the penalties last year were pretty brutal, but for the most part, he was still an above-average left tackle in 2019. You look at just a year ago, by the way, he erased Khalil Mack in a playoff game. I mean, last year at one point, he was ranked 9th of all offensive linemen in PFF grades. So, you know, he's going to talk to other teams, and he's going to get paid. Even though he's 38 years old, he can still play in teams with $100+ million in salary cap space. They're going to pay Jason Peters. You're not going to get him back, you know, on a bargain. So them allowing him to go talk to those other teams and likely get a big payday spells the end of his tenure in Philadelphia. And, you know, there was also that report that, or this rumor, to me that was crazy to begin with, that Andre Dillard could be packaged in a trade with Alshon Jeffrey to get a team to, you know, to incentivize to a team to take on that horrible cap hit that Alshon Jeffrey has by throwing in Andre Dillard. Like, to me, that seemed crazy as well. There was just so many different overreactions that wanted to create this bust label on Dillard, and I thought that was crazy from the start. I mean, you look at last year, the games that Dillard played at left tackle in for Jason Peters, I thought he was pretty damn good. I know there was that mishap at right tackle against Seattle, but the kid had never played that position before. He played left tackle his whole life. He even said it, you know, try writing with your left hand instead of your right. That's kind of how it is. But you shouldn't formulate your opinion on him as a prospect going into year two based on that one game. Overall, Dillard held his own. And I thought against Dallas, against Buffalo, I mean, Chicago, I thought he was really good against some pretty damn good defensive lines. I do understand the logic, though, the report that some coaches wanted to keep Jason Peters. It makes sense. Coaches are all about the here and the now and winning now. And even if they did believe in Andre Dillard, you knew what you had in Jason Peters. You know, he's a Hall of Famer that, like I said, is still an above average left tackle. And for a team that's not rebuilding, for a team that still has very high expectations going into 2020, to have that security, to have that, you know, that lock of what you know you have at left tackle, the second most important position in football, it does seem logical that even if they did believe in Andre Dillard, that they would want to go that route. But they did let Jason Peters enter free agency, and I think that really does end all of this Andre Dillard hysteria. And I'm looking forward to getting past that because I just think it was unwarranted, really, to begin with. As for Jason Peters, though, you know, the fan perspective, the emotional side, the goodbye, you know, after 11 years, it's going to be tough to see the bodyguard go. You know, this is a position that, like I said, outside of quarterback, I think is the most important in sports to protect that quarterback, because the quarterback is the most important asset in all of sports. To me, the fact that they did not have to worry about that position, the left tackle spot, for 11 years. I mean, we were spoiled, to be honest, not just because they had Jason Peters at left tackle, but you had a combination of Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, two of the best tackles of the last couple decades, and you had those two protecting your quarterback for 7 years. I mean, that's not a lot of teams get that, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams that would kill for that stability at the tackle spots for just a year or two, and the Eagles have had it for a decade and more with Jason Peters, and almost a decade having Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. So it you know, the fan side, I mean, I've been watching this guy 2009. I was 12 years old, and now here I am 22 talking about him on this podcast. He's a fan favorite of mine. I hope they retire his jersey. I don't know if they will. I mean, I think they will. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was crucial in helping you win a Super Bowl, and again, protecting your quarterbacks for so long. He protected a lot of guys. Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb. Who else? he protected Sam Bradford, Nick Foles, you know, Carson Wentz, Mark Sanchez. The list goes on, but JP is a staple in the Philadelphia community within the Eagles organization. And again, first ballot Hall of Famer. It's crazy that this was a guy that came into the NFL undrafted out of Arkansas as a tight end. And he goes on to be one of the best offensive linemen to ever do it. I mean, it's such a cool story. And the fact that I don't know how Buffalo let him go in 2009. They probably have been kicking themselves ever since. He becomes this dominant elite player for the Eagles. And not just on the field, but his presence within the organization was just so unique. I mean, the relationships he had with the front office, right, and every single coach on the staff. And then the leadership role he had for players like Halepulivahti Vaitai and Lane Johnson and Andre Dillard. I mean, he was a leader, he was a teacher, and you really didn't want to let him down. He had that intimidating factor, almost though in a positive way. It wasn't, you were scared, not that they were scared of Jason Peters, but you were so scared to let him down because he was that powerful. He had that pull within the organization. I mean, just ask Jake Elliott. Remember in 2017 when Elliott hits that game-winning 61-yard field goal against the New York Giants week 3, he actually had a miss or two there in that football game. And Jason Peters, I remember there was a mic'd up segment where he walks up to Elliott on the sideline. He said, hey, no more misses. And Jake Elliott looks like he's about to crap his pants, but he drills a 61-yarder to win the football game. And, of course, the Eagles really, the magic started for that season with that moment. So that year, by the way, I think, honestly, there was some of my favorite Jason Peters moments were in that 2017 season. Even though he tore his Achilles Monday night against the Washington Redskins, that night actually is my favorite Jason Peters moment. I was in the crowd for that game. Remember, the Eagles destroyed the Redskins. Carson Wentz threw for 4 amazing passing touchdowns, but Jason Peters tore his Achilles in that game and got carted off. And I just remember the entire stadium, you know, 60,000+ people chanting Jason Peters. It was just so cool to see that a position that is not glamorous, you can't go on YouTube and watch Jason Peters highlights, but the entire city of Philadelphia and everybody in that stadium knew how valuable he was and he has been to the organization. To hear everybody chant his name while he gets carted off was really something special. That just, it goes to show, he's never going to have to buy a beer again in the city of Philadelphia. And by the way, when he was getting carted off, what I loved about that moment too was he was going out of his way to coach up Big V while all the other players and teammates are coming up to, you know, wish him well and say he was going to be okay. He's coaching up Big V. And that was huge because Big V got better and better as the year went on to the point where he was a starting left tackle and a Super Bowl champion. And you got to give Jason Peters credit for that. I love how JP cherished that Super Bowl run, even though he wasn't playing. Like Carson Wentz, man, Jason Peters earned that ring just like all the other 53 players on that team. You know, he always had his teammates' backs. The brawl against Washington, remember in 2014 when Chris Baker cheap-shotted Nick Foles. I mean, that was legendary. And again, just one of the coolest NFL stories to see a guy come out of Arkansas as an undrafted tight end and become one of the best left tackles of all time. He will be missed, but at the same time, you knew this was coming now for, what, 5 years? The writing was on the wall eventually. It's just cool that they got as much out of him as they did. The fact that they got 11 dominant years out of Jason Peters, you really did get your money's worth in that trade with the Buffalo Bills, and now he is a legend in Eagles history. We're going to flip the script, though. We're going to talk about the defensive line coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. I want to get into the edge rusher position. Are the Eagles fine there moving forward into 2020 and the future, or should there be some drastic changes to that position through free agency, through the draft? I'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back into another edition of Locked On Eagles. This is Offseason Options. It's the defensive end edition of the show, segment 2. We are wrapping up this week. Next week, we will get into a lot of our free agency talk, although we've been getting into that with Offseason Options. me and Gino both have our off-season simulations coming up. Those are my favorite shows to do every single year, where we run through. I play the role of Howie Roseman, right, where I do free agency. I make internal decisions on whether to re-sign Rodney McLeod, you know, guys like that, Malcolm Jenkins, then go through unrestricted free agency and then do a mock draft, kind of play the role of Howie Roseman and take you through this offseason and see what I would do if I was running the Eagles organization. And then Gino will do the same thing. So we got some awesome shows coming up in the next couple weeks. So make sure you subscribe on any podcast platform, or you can always check them out on LockedOnEagles.com. All right. We got into Jason Peters in the offensive line segment one. Let's flip the script here now. We'll wrap up offseason options with the defensive end spot. And overall, in general, you know, we talked about defensive tackle yesterday. The defensive line as a whole was an up and down unit last year. They've really been a strength of the team. Both the offense and defensive line for the Eagles has been a strength since, for honestly, the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, as long as guys like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson have been around. You know, that's been the foundation, that's been the core, that's been the heartbeat of this Eagles team for a long time. But last year, you know, the defensive line specifically in the edge rusher spot too, it was kind of an up and down year for that unit. They were 13th in sacks last year. They finished with 43, so not bad, of course, but there were a lot of pockets within the season, you know, early on the first month in September, down the stretch in December as well. The defensive line, they didn't get to the quarterback on a consistent basis. And of course, injuries were a big part of that. Derek Barnett got banged up, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. I feel like everybody at one point got hurt. Of course, you lose Malik Jackson week one of the season. Hassan Ridgeway gets hurt. You know, you're rolling through guys like Anthony Spencer and Anthony Rush, or I don't even know if it was it Anthony Spencer, the former Miami Dolphins defensive tackle. I'm forgetting his exact name. I'm pretty sure that's right, but they rolled through so many different guys. Timmy Jernigan got hurt and then came back, and you know, he got going at the end of the year, but he wasn't what we thought he was going to be, what he was in 2017. So there was a lot that had to do with that up and down play. Of course, too, having a terrible secondary is also part of that. When your corners can't hang on for more than, you know, 1 or 2 seconds, it's virtually impossible for Fletcher Cox, who's being double teamed, to get to the quarterback in, you know, 2.3 seconds. But at the same time, I would say the line was not nearly consistent enough like they were in 2018 down the stretch. I think the defensive line really helped kickstart that playoff run to get into the postseason. I mean, they destroyed the Los Angeles Rams in the game that I really thought jump-started that run in 2018. This year, you didn't really get that spark down the stretch. But at the same time, you know, Brandon Graham had another great year with 8.5 sacks. I think Josh Sweat is a guy that could be on the verge of breaking out. He had 4 sacks last year, and he probably should have had more. Vinny Curry, even, on a 1-year deal coming back to Philadelphia, was a Pro Football Focus darling. Super efficient with the snaps that he got. Pass rushing efficiency was up there amongst the best in the league. He had 5 sacks as well. He also blocked a field goal in the playoff game against Seattle. So, you know, overall, I thought the unit, each player had a pretty good season, but just it was too inconsistent. And we talk about, I think, the most polarizing guy, the guy with the most question marks is Derek Barnett. I don't know how to feel about him. Not like right now, but for the future with the contract stuff coming up. You know, he has that 5th-year option that the Eagles could pick up before this year. Is that something they're going to do? Is he somebody that you want moving forward as a staple of your defensive line? He had 6.5 sacks last year, a career high. He was on the verge of breaking out in 2018 as well. He's a great run-stopping edge rusher for sure. And he probably, by the way, he should have had more than 6.5 sacks. He got to the quarterback a lot, and there were, I could count on my own hands, I can count remembering 3, 4, 5 times where he had a sack right there lined up and it got away from him. So I think there is more meat on the bones for Derek Barnett, which is a good thing. However, how much bigger of a jump is there for Derek Barnett to take within his potential? I'm not sure if there is much more to see of Derek Barnett than what we've seen in the past 3 years. And of course, I want to say that with a grain of salt, because Brandon Graham took a long time to get going, right? So you don't want to rule Derek Barnett dead in the water as a top-tier core player for this Eagles team moving forward. But at the same time, I feel like his ceiling is not nearly as high. I would not be surprised if Josh Sweat ends up being better than Derek Barnett as early as 2020. I did ask the fans. I put up a poll, and you can follow us on Twitter at DiBiase LOE and at Gino_LOE. 48% of fans think he is still a long-term piece on the edge. 20% say no. And I line up here with this 31% that say they need another year to see what Derek Barnett can do. That's where I am. I need another year. Again, Brandon Graham took some time. And speaking of Brandon Graham, he's at the twilight of his career. So I do imagine that Barnett is here for a long time and is a good starter. Like you could do a lot worse than Derek Barnett as your starting defensive end. However, I'm not somebody that's going to, I think they will sign him to a contract. And I hope that it's pretty inexpensive, because I'm not someone that's willing to overpay Derek Barnett. That's a position still, the defensive end spot, that I'm still looking to upgrade, to a point this year. And that could be in-house. Again, it could just be Josh Sweat taking a big step this year, or the Eagles learning how to use Jannard Avery in creative ways, right? Or God forbid they got something out of Sharif Miller. I have no idea. They should have just took Charles Omenihu when they could have, instead of Sharif Miller or Clayton Thorson. That'll still bother me to the end of time in 2018 that they did not take Omenihu, and now he's a core piece of the Texans' defensive line. It also could be the Eagles looking free agency. There's some big names that are available this year. I don't think they would target somebody like Mario Addison, although I love who he is as a player and what he's been for Carolina. I think they're going to more so look for youth at that spot. And that could be, and it doesn't have to be guys 23, 24 years old, but look at, as much as Philadelphia doesn't like him, Jadeveon Clowney is a free agent, and there was reported interest last year, mutual interest on both sides before he got dealt to Seattle. Yannick Ngakoue was franchise tagged by the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Yannick Ngakoue. I think I did this on the podcast before. He said he's not going to play another down for the Jaguars. So, a trade, though, would the Eagles be willing to deal like a second round pick and shell out a massive contract to him? I'm not so sure. I don't know if that's going to be the route. But at the same time, that's the kind of player I want. I want another elite talent on the edge, or someone with that elite upside physically that can consistently be in the 10 to 15 range in sacks. And I'm not sure if that's Derek Barnett. I mean, just compare him to Vinny Curry last year. Derek Barnett had 1.5 more sacks and 6 more pressures than Vinny Curry, but he also played 197 more pass rushing snaps. So to only have 1.5 more sacks than Vinny Curry and 6 more pressures on nearly 200 more pass rushing snaps, that's a little concerning. I mean, Vinny Curry, he's a good player last year. He surprised me for sure. He kind of flew under the radar, but Derek Barnett should be outproducing Vinny Curry by more than that. Curry, by the way, is a free agent as well this year. He had a good year, but I'd be looking at other options for defensive end 4, and I think that's going to be through the draft, because I'm not at the point now where I want to replace Derek Barnett, but I want to add more options, more young, high upside options, in case 2020 you get another 4 to 6 sack season, and you're kind of just like, meh, again, that's your feeling on Derek Barnett. I would like to have more options moving forward if that is the case, because if that's the production we get again next year, that's not somebody I want to sign to a really big contract. So I'm not ready to, again, trade huge assets for Ngakoue, because I believe Derek Barnett could be even better, and I think he already is a pretty damn good starting defensive end. But I think there's more meat on the bones here when it comes to getting to the quarterback on the edge. So we're going to talk about next the NFL draft. Because Brandon Graham is older, even if they decide to keep Derek Barnett long-term, even if Josh Sweat were to be a long-term piece that breaks out next year, continues to take another step in year 3, they're going to need young pass rushers moving forward. The Eagles love to roll through 3-4 pass rushers at a time on the edge. Remember in 2017, it was Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry, Derek Barnett, Chris Long, then it was Michael Bennett. Jim Schwartz and that defense, they like to rotate through at that position. So they're going to need to add guys no matter what. And I do think that will be through the draft. There are some guys I really like, especially day 2. And I'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, we are wrapping up this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's off-season options. We're talking defensive end. So again, you know, Jadeveon Clowney's available this year. Yannick Ngakoue for the right price is available. Guys like Mario Addison, Rick Armstead for the right price. Shaq Lawson with the Buffalo Bills. But I think the Eagles still have enough on the defensive end spot. Brandon Graham, of course, still an elite pass rusher. Derek Barnett, a pretty good defensive end that you're trying to see moving forward, how much you want to commit to him, not just financially, but his role as well. Do you want to marry yourself to the idea of him being one of your two starters long term? You have Josh Sweat, who I think is going to take a big step in year three. So I don't think they're at the point where they're going to invest a huge amount of resources into, you know, a big fish free agent at the defensive end spot. I think that's more so what they'll do at corner, what they'll do at safety, maybe wide receiver, not defensive end though. I think defensive end, you want to bring in guys that could be options long term to replace Brandon Graham and or Derek Barnett, but not to do that in 2020. So again, I think the perfect idea is in the second round, maybe the third round with one of your two third round picks, or even try again in the fourth round. You've done that in 2 years now where you went Josh Sweat and you went Sharif Miller. I think you bring in another guy to compete with guys like Josh Sweat and Miller and also Jannard Avery, right? I wish they had that player already. I think you could have had that in Charles Omenihu, who can also play on the interior. He literally is exactly what the Eagles need right now, but you can tell I hold a grudge against the Eagles with that decision. But I think that's what they should do, is add another young guy, high upside, that can compete with those players and eventually could even upend Derek Barnett. I don't think defensive end four is going to be a crucial position for the Eagles next year, especially if Malik Jackson comes back and you upgrade the defensive tackle spot, because that's the kind of player that you're going to have play on first, second, and third down. In pass rushing spots, Malik Jackson was supposed to be somebody that's an every down defensive tackle. So it's not a crucial spot in 2020. But once again, with Brandon Graham's age, with Barnett's question marks, and Sweat's still too. We don't know what we have officially in Josh Sweat. I want another potential long-term guy. In the first round at pick 21, I don't love their options. I'm not a big fan of A.J. Epenesa from Iowa or Yeter Gross-Matos from Penn State. To me, those are both players that, I don't know, I don't love the upside there from either guy. Epenesa did not grade out very well at the combine. He just does not have a very explosive first step. There were too many times where he'd get wrapped up by the left tackle, and 2, 3, 4 seconds later, he would use that long reach and power to get through and get to the quarterback. But in the NFL, you know, that's not always going to work. And is he someone that can chase down a Lamar Jackson when the pocket breaks down, or Dak Prescott? I don't like the options at 21. And I don't think Clavon Chaisson from LSU is going to fall to 21, or else I'd be running to the podium if he was available. I think more so where the Eagles should go in the draft when it comes to defensive end is in the second, like I said, second, third round. There's two prospects that I would love to bring in this year: Michigan's Joshua Uche or Tennessee's Daryl Taylor. Both the exact type of player I want. If I don't want the prospect anymore, and I know the Eagles love the motor, that trait in a defensive end, like it's a huge thing to have. But like Chase Winovich last year, that me and Gino used to debate about a lot, from Michigan. Chase Winovich, the first thing you would say about Chase Winovich was not that, you know, he's got crazy athleticism and explosive first step bend, you know, for miles. It wasn't anything about his physical tools or that kind of upside. It was more so, and again, it's not a bad thing to say someone has incredible work ethic and a high motor, but if that's the first thing you have to say about a prospect, by the way, that I'm taking in the first one or two rounds or three rounds, that's not somebody that, at least for my philosophy, that I'm looking for. I want that motor and I want that effort, but I look at Uche, I look at Daryl Taylor, and I see crazy athletic upside. I see guys that have star potential. With Chase Winovich, you never saw that. I don't see that with Epenesa. I don't see that with Yeter Gross-Matos either from Penn State. I see that with Uche and Taylor, and it's not going to cost as much. Uche wrecked the Senior Bowl. Taylor has been dealing with some injuries, so he hasn't been able to participate in off-season activities. But if you haven't watched Uche or Taylor yet, go look up those guys on YouTube. Go check out their film or even just their highlights. Both have incredible explosiveness off the line. A great first step. They're strong. They're fast. Great bend. They're exactly what I'm looking for. I want another guy like Josh Sweat, where I have this blank canvas of athletic ability on the edge, and I can mold that into what I want and potentially get a star that, again, I love that, you know, Derek Barnett. It's good to have guys like that that are great against the run and are reliable, but he's not a guy that I believe will ever just consistently be at 11 to 15 sacks, and I want that. I want that star pass rusher on the edge. And I think that Uche could be that. I think that Daryl Taylor could be that. I think those are two guys that I'm really eyeing for the Eagles in day two of the NFL draft, because they're not players that day one are going to replace Brandon Graham or Derek Barnett. But overall, down the road, they could be that. They have that upside. And for now, they can push Josh Sweat in the rotation. They can push Sharif Miller, Jannard Avery. Maybe they decide to bring back Vinnie Curry or a low-cost free agent as well. I think that's the route that the Eagles should take at defensive end in 2020. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. We have officially put a cap on the offseason options series. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We got a bunch more stuff coming next week, though, about free agency, and we'll continue our NFL draft talk as well every Monday. We haven't done it for a couple weeks here as we continued offseason options, but Locked On the Mock, or we've changed the name to Mock Draft Monday on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We will get back to that on Monday, where me and Gino do an entire 7-round mock draft. But then Tuesday through Friday, expect a whole lot of free agency talk, with that coming up in just 11 days now from this Saturday edition of the podcast. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on any platform. You can always check it out as well on LockedOnEagles.com. And I'm always talking birds on Twitter, so make sure even after the show, if you have opinions on what I'm talking about, hit me up at DiBiase, L-O-E. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.